purpose of education, critique, and review, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast Network proudly presents The Road Paved to Heaven with Hell on Earth Intentions by People.
That's kind of the title. So I'm WC Chronicles, your senior nerdling.
Jersey Mike, junior nerdling, and this is No Nerd Podcast 2, which we're supposed
to
have.
We're going to get on. We're going to get to it. But life,
we're going to get
when
to
life.
When
life hands you lemons, we're going to get some
make
life
lemonade
going on.
With a little bit of positivity.
So the title of the podcast is The Road to Hell is Paved with Good Intentions. You want a little background on it?
Yes.
Good, because I got it right here. We're going to get some personal stuff talking about here. We're going to throw some other things in, see where our conversation goes. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's a proverb, okay? It's basically an alternative form of hell is full of good meanings, but heaven is full of good works. Maybe that's what you were saying or trying to say there at the beginning. Yes? No?
It's a combination of both. It's like having, okay, let's just tell it the way it is. They just legalized marijuana here in Vegas, July 1st, okay?
Yes.
One store is open 24 hours with spotlights. Another store is open, whatever, from 10 to whatever. Okay, you can get prostitutes here. You can gamble here. You can drink here. You can do drugs here. You can do anything you want in this town. And that's just the way it is. You can gamble. Okay, but they call it Sin City for a reason.
Yeah.
How long can you honestly stay in hell thinking you're going to go to heaven? What I mean is with all these induced vices,
yeah,
and people can't control themselves.
It's like, oh hell, we're in Vegas, go ahead and spend it, you know, go ahead and get the limo, get this,
okay,
you know.
Cosmo the other night, there's 6 to 8 girls, all in their 20 21 22, drinking, whatever. I see the girls twerking in the casino aisle and the slot machines. It was great. It was enjoyable. But that's why people come here. For a mind douche, a mind escape. And I hope people listen to this one for this especially, because we all need it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the road to hell is paved with good intentions is, this is my take on, okay? You and I, I'm West Coast. I'm West Coast. You were raised on the East Coast. Both parents raised us with good morals. We both kind of bring something to the table here that's on equal territory.
The problem is when you say raised with good morals is one good thing, but when you get into the world, it's like when the Bible states, because I want to be Catholic and I want to be good, but it's so hard.
Let me rephrase it. We want to hope and see people succeed, and we want to see the good side of humanity.
Yes, at a price.
At a price.
Which I want to count some. But what I'm trying to say here is we come from two different worlds, but we're kind of the same because we have a good heart. But what happens when you're thrown into the world? It's like you see, okay, you're a young kid. You see a cartoon. Ooh, mommy's got some boobies hanging out on a cartoon and stuff. Okay, come to Vegas, get involved with a tattoo shop or the wrong women. What happens? They take everything off, but they want money. And you can catch a disease. You go broke. You go crazy in the mind. It's a fucked up combination, but that's the way the world is.
Well, Las Vegas is a cutthroat city, all right? It's a bigger town than what I came from, which was a small town of Tigard, Oregon, southwest Portland. Went to a very small 6-room schoolhouse. I mean, it's like this is the stuff that Mr. Rogers was made of, okay? It's in my nature to be graceful. Have a little, try to hope somebody will make a right choice and turn themselves around.
A little graceful with some finesse, but you also got to watch out to be stuck with a dagger at the same time.
If you keep trying to help the same person over, you hand someone a person a rope to try to pull them up, you know what they're going to do? They're going to take it, make a noose out of it, put it around the neck, go, okay, pull me up, so they can whine and complain some more, you know? So it's basically the race to the bottom.
That said so much right there, because that's just so simplified, but so much weight you just dropped there, because you can't take 5-10 people on as a project, meaning trying to help people mentally talk, because what happens are you'll have to start drinking, you'll have to start, I'm just going to say it the way it is, fucking around with women in the evening, you're going to have to gamble. You have to release stress somehow.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, there's a problem. Your arteries will explode.
You keep giving someone more slack, they're going to take a noose out of it and put it around your neck and take you down with you.
Oh, so well said. Example. Somebody goes to the bar. You can eat here, but you can play keno, blackjack, other machines. You can play poker. Okay, and they advertise all these little bars, PTs, anything because they want to suck all the money out.
The airport.
Exactly.
The airport. They have, you can gamble at the airport.
Exactly. What I'm trying to say is you go in, you have your paycheck with you. You get lucky. You hit for money.
They'll cash your paycheck. Can you believe that here?
But you win money. People say, oh, I was ahead. It's their money. No, it's not their money. Once it hits your pocket, your hand, it's your money.
It's your money.
So if you put in 100, hit a four of a kind, royal flush, whatever, and you cash out $1,000, $900 is yours. Yeah, tip the people good because that's the town we live in. That's how
it goes.
That's
the town we live in.
But you can walk out with $850 cash. If you go home,
no questions asked.
Go home, sit on the bed, $850. Get rid of the money. Make a car payment. Go out and buy your mom and dad something. If you don't have mom and dad, buy your mate something. And I'm not talking something stupid. Maybe they need a different jacket, or you see somebody on the street. Right. Hand them a $20. Here's not to get high, but to get.
I gotta hit this fable because so many people don't remember this fable. That the ant and the grasshopper. You know, remember the story of the ant and the grasshopper?
Something like that.
See, this is what I'm talking about. I don't know why people don't remember this. Okay, anthill, the ants, springtime into the summer, they are working to put food away for the winter that's coming, okay? But the grasshopper, he doesn't want to. He just wants to sing and dance and play his fiddle and just fiddle the summer away. He's, oh, there's plenty of time. It's 2 weeks till we, you know. Eventually, the moral is that it comes down to the grasshopper is not being prepared. But the ants were still gracious enough because they had so much socked away that they brought him in to the anthill to stave off the winter.
So you know what's funny about that?
Not preparing for what is coming. The ant and the grasshopper.
I thought you were going to say that he froze. They took him in and thawed him out and cooked him.
He was frozen. He was.
I thought the ants ate him.
No, they didn't eat him, but they could. But there is. I think Looney Tunes did make a version of this. We'll have to find it and review it.
Yeah. Wow.
Actually, we'll check it and see if it's here. We'll review it.
But your key word is gracious, and most people are gracious.
They will cut your throat in your graciousness. I tried to help somebody move here. It's about 4 years ago. I gave them $2,400. They have. If I'm doing okay, don't worry. You will be covered. But the thing is, if you don't say something, you will never get anything. Okay? All right. I'm gonna play a song. All right. Billy Joel, The Stranger.
I love that one.
You get talking to people. You think you know them. But they are a stranger. They pull out that mask and put it, or take that mask off or on, and you actually see who the person is.
It's called acting.
It's called acting. And I think this would be a good song into our topic of The Road is Paved to the Hell.
I love this.
You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
I love this.
So here's Billy Joel, The Stranger. Listen to the lyrics.
This is from an album that came out in 1977.
We'll be right back. Though we share so many secrets, there are some we never tell. Why were you so surprised that you never saw the stranger? Did you ever let your lover see the stranger in yourself? Don't be afraid to try again. Everyone goes out every now and then. You've done it, why can't someone else? You should know by now, you've been there yourself. Once I used to believe I was such a great romancer. Then I came home to a woman that I could not recognize. When I pressed her for the reason, she refused to even answer. It was then I felt the stranger check me right between the eyes. Well, we all fall in love, but we disregard the danger. Though we share so many secrets, there are some we never tell. Why were you so surprised that you never saw the stranger? Did you ever let your lover see the stranger in yourself? Don't be afraid to try again. Everyone goes out every now and then. Ooh, you've done it, why get someone else? You should know by now, you've been there yourself. They never understand how the stranger is inspired. But it isn't always evil, and it is not always wrong. Don't you drown in good intentions, you will never quench the fire. You go into your desire when a stranger comes along.
Billy Joel, live in Japan, 2006, doing The Stranger, which is a good song. The topic, the lyrics, is what we're talking about. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And he basically says, you know, you become that stranger. Who is that stranger that keeps saying yes to people or falling for it?
Or knowing what they're doing and waiting to get, like, what would they call that, a trap, snare a trap on somebody.
Yeah.
And usually get caught in your own trap, because very few people, like, you watch the show American Greed and all these fucking shows. I mean, honestly, these shows that what people do.
Yeah.
And it's like people need to drink, take drugs, blow off all kinds of steam, because life with the vices is very hard. Very hard. It's like you said, you come from a small town. I come from a little bit like the suburbs, I guess. I went to the shore. And you find out the reasons why things are caused.
Yeah, it was like a small town, like Little House in the Prairie, okay? Mr. Ingalls couldn't afford to pay for all the grass seed at once. But he's going to be back there at Olson's General Store paying a quarter every week or something to pay off for that grass seed.
And that's why the Bible states an honest man is a good man, because most times, I don't know anybody, honestly, that could look in the mirror and say I'm a good person all the way through.
Yeah.
Through. It's hard. You try to. I mean, it could be by so small as eating too much food or whatever else you do for consumption. It's not good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this subject.
Now, I mean, we're still nerding out on some stuff. That's why I picked Billy Joel, The Stranger. Remember the first few episodes of Gilligan's Island when there was the tools?
Oh, yeah.
All the tools. Okay, they were passing. They all decided, you know, we're each going to work on our own huts.
Yes. Wow. Big argument. Black and white.
Black and white, yes. I didn't have time to find the particular clip, but we'll talk about it, okay? It's the clip where Skipper tells Gilligan, stop giving the tools away. Say no, 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 no. And then who comes along? A slinky, slanky Ginger Grant. Hi, Gilligan. And he turns around, no, 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 no. And, you know, and he's like, oh. And the last scene is, he's basically, he's like, oh, can I borrow this hammer? Can I borrow these pliers? Can I borrow a little bit of this string? How much of this rope do you want? about 12 feet, okay. And then eventually it just shows Gilligan picking up everything and then just following her and giving it to her.
Which I'm not going to get into, but that's a very interesting topic because that's
there's a lot of metaphor there in that scene.
We know what that's about.
Saying no, and then the desires, and then but still, it's Gilligan falling into the stranger, being too nice again. When the skipper said, "Say no."
I'm tired of putting my head on the chopping block and not getting a result. Meaning, sometimes you just got to say no and just walk away and be content just going home and just hanging out with a good guy like yourself doing a podcast.
Yes.
And then you do whatever. That's a good thing. That's a good thing versus running around trying to be a number one and doing this.
Yeah,
and doing
if you
that.
Actually Google say no, you're going to get a trillion pages that will tell you how to say no. And that's actually beneficial to the other person because you're not enabling them.
You know, that's
racing to the bottom.
That's the problem, racing to the bottom. And that's where most of us wind up. Pit and a pit and a pit of snakes. Not just crawling ones, the two-legged ones, which are people. Hard, man.
Now, are there any... I mean, you know better Fleetwood Mac than I do. Isn't there... What's that one song they have that's kind of in the topic that we're going here with? The Chain, is that it?
Oh, The Chain, yeah. Break the Chain, I guess, on your diction and stuff like
break
that.
Break the Chain.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
to rethink about this song now is when they say in the shadows. That's how most people live, in the dark. And when things come to light, people just are just so overwhelmed.
What's the first thing you do when you get in light? You shun it.
But
your
eyes
are sensitive to it.
I'm talking the inner light, where you can't run from yourself, and you can't drink it, or you can't.
Now that's heavy.
You can't smoke it. You can't pill it. When you do something like that, I'm talking inner shadows like that. And I have my own inner demons that are, I still fight today, and it's not easy, man. That you can't drink yourself away. You can't numb it away. You have to deal with it. And there's only one way that I know to forgive, and that's to have some kind of spirituality, if you like it or not. There's more to it than just us here, and you try to help each other. But that inner deep demons you have, hard.
Is sometimes it can be trying to help people too much. It can be an inner demon.
That could be an addiction.
You end up racing to the bottom faster, you know?
That's a different form of addiction.
Yeah.
It's just like with this song, though, and the shadows and stuff, that's how most people live. If a guy and his wife or girlfriend get together, one cheats. Nowadays, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Have open marriages, open relationships. If not, nobody's going to say it. And they drink or whatever they do, they can just live with it. Straight on. It's hard. That's why...
I've got to tell a story. All right, so we're still able to keep, we're on a very deep subject here, but still, we're keeping it light at the same time, playing some music and some stories. You're talking about the open relationship marriage, okay? This May would have been a year ago that my friend Billy passed away.
Oh, wow.
I'll say his name, Billy Russo. He lived in East Salem, okay? He was the little 5-foot cowboy guy.
Yeah, you were saying he was really neat, really cool.
Yes.
And you guys joked and did a lot of cool shit.
He's the guy that you would give the biggest, toughest job to, and he would find the easiest way to get it done and still have a good old time doing it, you know?
God bless him.
And God bless him. I mean, there were so many times that he would come and help me and my family when we were running our business at the time, which was a furniture repair business. He would jump in for $60 a day, and he would do whatever it is I asked him to do work-wise. That's how much... He was the epitome of a good soul, okay?
Wow, that's great.
But now, what has this got to do with open marriage?
Oh,
okay?
One of two things I could think of. He was in one, or he came across one?
Came across one.
Yeah.
Okay? You're going to love this. So, East Salem, out towards that part of Oregon, it's very farm country, okay? The farmers know one farmer. It's back to like Little House on the Prairie.
Now, I'm just going to jump in with a little Jersey insight real fast. Was this a non-bestiality open relationship?
No, nothing. Nothing to
do. So you said farm, that's it? Farm animal.
Nothing
time.
To do with, no, as in just the farmers, like the, you know, the Lord, Mr. Ingalls paying a quarter a week. You know, they helped each other, you know. Plow my field, I'll help you, that kind of thing.
I bet he plowed a field or two.
Oh, yes, he did. He was Billy. But anyway, he had a friend. He was friends with this other couple. One lady had a state job. The other guy was a landscaper worked for a maintenance company or something. But the husband, they had an open relationship. The husband and wife had an open relationship, people who knew from Billy. And so it's like, you know, for some reason, every Tuesday...
Billy was opening.
No, he was not. He was not involved with it.
Okay.
This was the other couple. We'll call them Bob and Beth.
And Beth.
It's like every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, there goes Bev off to somewhere because, well, Bob doesn't ask because it's an open marriage. But then come every Sunday night at 7 o'clock, Bob's off somewhere. Okay? Bob, why is this all to it together? Bob ended up selling Billy his old flip phone. Okay? But he didn't clean the files off of it.
Wow.
So one visitation when I was back during Christmas and I was visiting Billy, we'd like to get together maybe once every 6 months and talk and stuff, he starts showing me all these naked lady pictures.
Oh my gosh.
Of unsorts of all kinds of ungodly, dudly, done wrong things. And I'm just like, oh geez, what are you showing? What is, Billy, what did you do to get those? He goes, that's Bob's phone. He sold it to me. That's Bev, his wife. I was like, oh, my
God.
I'm just like, you mean he didn't clear out the files on his phone and sold you his flip phone with naked pictures of his wife? He goes, yep.
Sounds like he had fun with that open flip phone.
Well, oh, I mean, gosh. I'm like, did he leave him there intentionally? He goes, I don't know. I don't care. But I like taking them up and showing them to people and just shocking you like that.
Who knows? Maybe they wanted to turn Billy on to, you know, Bob wanted to get rid of Bob. Bev wanted Billy to be in bed with Bob and Bev. How do you know?
I don't know, but that's, God bless Billy. You're a
hey,
good
listen,
soul.
That
you're
is,
the epitome of good people.
That is pretty awesome, man, because that's just our topic. What we're into. It's like, hey, this is 4th of July. Bang, this is our fireworks show. Highway to Hell with good intentions, paved with good intentions. But it sounds like you... did you go back into the schoolhouse when you saw the picture of Bev?
Did I go back into the schoolhouse?
Yeah, you said you came from six... Oh, no, you grew up.
I grew up in a town.
I'm thinking about you were a little kid.
But it's funny you say that because when Billy passed away, he was at his trailer, which was on the property because he was the caretaker of one of the old 1888 Grange buildings out there in Salem, which was one of the original Grange buildings, which was used as the well, like, you know, the town hall where everybody would show this one-room schoolhouse where everybody would show up in Little House in the
Prairie. Yeah, exactly.
He was the caretaker of what this little building, actually it was a big building.
Like when they did when they had to go for the big Grange meeting.
The dances, the see homie.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. There's your squirrel serendipity.
It's just crazy that we're all thinking we're different and we're all unique. Completely the same.
So, I want to talk this. I'm going to throw this in. It's a fictional character, George Costanza.
Oh, I love him. George is a little horny Jew. He doesn't care who knows it. He likes to play with the Yankees, and I think in that one, all honesty, I think his bat was his dick.
Yeah.
He liked to always go Yankees, Yankee. I think that was their expression. He always strummed his ego.
Every episode, he was getting into some kind of, oh, woe is me, Jerry. Oh, help me, Jerry. You know, it's like the Star Trek episode. Help me, Spock. Help
yes.
me.
And not
help me,
Jewish
Jerry.
People. It's just he plays that, Menza. What can I get you for? Exactly.
So let's do a little George Costanza, okay?
Need a good to go.
Who are you, George Costanza?
I'm the opposite of every guy you've ever met.
It's not you. It's me.
You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
Look, I was just trying to, you know...
I know what you were trying to do. Nobody does it better than me.
Shut your traps and stop kicking the seats! We're trying to watch the movie! And if I have to tell you again, we're going to take it outside and I'm going to show you what it's like. You understand me?
Now shut your mouths or I'll shut them for you. And if you think I'm kidding, just try me. Try me. Because I would
love it.
You're telling me that wine is better than Pepsi? No way wine is better than Pepsi.
Oh, hey, that's great. That's very nice. You know, we've been waiting 20 minutes for you people. What do you think, you're Mussolini?
Back off, puffball. It's not my car.
Wasn't talking to you.
You know, we're living in a society. We're supposed to act in a civilized way.
I tell you, if I was running for office, I would ask for the death penalty for double parkers. If this is allowed to go on, this is not a society. This is anarchy!
She called. He yelled Cartwright. I missed her.
Who's Cartwright?
I'm Cartwright.
You're not Cartwright.
Of course I'm not Cartwright!
I mean, would it kill you not to be so funny all the time? That's all I'm asking. This woman thinks I'm very funny, and now you're gonna be funny, so what am I gonna be? I'm gonna be a short, bald guy with glasses who suddenly doesn't seem so funny.
I'm not treating you to lunch anymore!
You had to tell Julie that I made a special point of telling you that I bought you the big salad, didn't you?
You know, if it was a regular salad, I wouldn't have said anything. But you had to have that big salad!
Stop there.
Oh, wow.
George Costanza is kind of the epitome of both sides of the coin that what we're talking about here. He's always trying to do good, but at the same time, he always ends up being his own little demon, his own little hell child that defeats himself and can't get out of his own way.
Wow. Very well said. Wow. George Costanza. Who would have thought he'd be the stand-up poster boy for an angel and a devil? Wow.
He kind of is. I mean, you would have the little angel. It's like the Bugs Bunny. You got the little devil and the little angel on your shoulder. He is both of them.
Oh, gosh. That's amazing, man. That guy is funny. I just wonder how he prepared for his character on Seinfeld. Personal, watched movies, went out, observed other people.
Because Jason Alexander is different as night and day. And, I mean, we're talking football and scuba diving, two different locations.
Exactly.
That's how different he is from that character of George Costanza. But the thing is, so many people tuned in. I mean, we're not making it a Seinfeld episode here, but the George Costanza thing was just a common thread that everybody's like, yeah, I think I've kind of been there, done that.
Yeah, it's like the soup Nazi on the show. Give it to me now, or get out of fucking line if you don't have any money. That's how
no soup
are.
For you.
Exactly. But like you say, it's like, now that, you know, we get a little bit lighter into the subject and stuff, Highway to Hell, you know, paid with good intentions. You know what's crazy? It's like going outside right now. If you think about it, and you see somebody that actually needs help. Do they need help? Kick me in the balls. Do I need a beer? Because we live in Vegas. That's what you see on this strip. I mean,
we have no social services here in town.
Nothing.
I had to go over to the north side of town a few days ago. And here's the thing. I guess this would be a commentary, okay? I see the people who are begging for money. They're in a dire straits. Maybe they're people who couldn't stop saying yes.
But are they really in dire straits, or is that just an act and they got a lot of money?
Yeah.
Because there was a guy when I first lived here 20-something years ago who they said had a Cadillac when it was the Barbary
Coast. I've heard of that, yeah.
He would park his car there, walk up to the couple blocks to the entranceway. I'm helping this earthquake family from California. Well, the earthquake was honestly 2 or 3 years done.
Yeah.
People would still give him money, and they said he makes hundreds of thousands of dollars with that sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So, is he wrong doing this? Of course, but how stupid are people? $1.50. It happens every day here now.
It happens every day.
My dog can't eat.
Every city, every metropolitan city, whether it be on the islands in the middle of the road or the freeway on-ramps or off-ramps, people begging for change or money.
But now they're bringing my cat. My dog can't eat. I want to get home to take care of this.
Yeah.
All this stuff. I mean, then God forbid for this one. I'm sorry to say this. But then it's, I have cancer. There's not... But if you live here, you see the same people with the same actions.
Same problem, right? But here's the thing. I know that there are addicts, that there are problems. Okay, but here's the thing. I would like to see them get clean, get on a good solid ground again, okay? Here's a shelter. Here is a kitchen. If it will give you a meal, okay? Hey, it's hot out, or maybe it's wintertime. It's cold out. Come on in. Get yourself warmed up. Get yourself... Get yourself an opportunity for some solid ground. Well, can I bring my beer with me?
Yeah.
No. Can I bring my heroin with me? No. What's the point?
Can I go to the casino and get drunk and blow my Social Security check, welfare check, and then a couple days later come in and say, I'm going to do this for the next 20-something days until the next check?
Yes. I mean, I don't know where... I mean, again, do you feel sorry for him? Or do you just keep helping them? Or do you just keep the door, turn the porch light on and leave the door ajar open?
Well, that's it.
For those who want to.
Yes, but
that's all I can say.
But the thing
I'm not
is,
following pro and con or against, or it kind of hurts you inside.
There is no right or wrong when you're trying to help people.
Yes.
It's more right. The thing is, are you really helping them or are you hurting them?
Enabling them.
That's
you know?
It. And you get to a point you can enable everybody. Then like people tell you, well, if you give all your change away, you don't have anything to eat at the end of the day. So where is the parable and the fable of high and low? What do you do? I mean, if a woman comes up to you in this town, and I'm not saying it just the way it is, not to be an asshole or anything, but they look at you in the casino. They're not looking at you in the casino because you're 40-something years old, bald-headed, overweight, or good shape, whatever. It's probably a quick transaction for the buck. That's the society. That's the town we live in. If you can't get it through your head.
When I first moved here, before I knew you, before I knew Casting College, I was in the casino. This girl comes up to me. Hi, well, I just want to have fun with you. And I'm just like, what kind of, you mean? Oh, I just want to hang out. Well, okay. You want to follow me to my car? How, and then followed by, how much are we thinking of spending? Nothing.
That's Vegas. That's life, and that's the big city. I mean, there's always a catch to a good little thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like opening up these marijuana dispensaries now. It's good because it infuses jobs and tax money. Long term, it can actually, and I think it does, a lot of addicts and a lot of people stay suppressed, and people are going to spend a ton of money, and somebody's going to get rich and somebody's not. Just like life.
It's going to be another wall where money is held and not circulated.
That's the key. I think money compared to religion is hell, because you can't serve it both, the Bible says, and it's very hard. You can't middle it. You cannot middle it. I've tried.
You can't.
I've been trying for my life. You can't do it. So if you get blessed to get it, be happy. If not, you got a roof over your head, you got a phone to do a podcast, you can have a glass of water, you got a television, you got a car, you got some clean clothes, food in your stomach, a couple good friends, you got family, you got your health. I think you pretty much got the world in the positive by the balls that way, literally.
Now, that's a good way to put that. Get the world positive by the balls.
Yes, and that's the way to be. You're not going to get rich overnight. You don't know who scammed, stole, cheated, or inherited, and stuff like that. Now, I'm not going to bring this into it, but I am. I am tired of people, and there's nothing wrong with getting an inheritance or be left a bunch of money and stuff, because most people aren't. But don't come around the corner and be like, oh, I'm like you. I worked hard. And it's like, no, you didn't. You were blessed. You had to deal with the pain of losing a loved one or a friend. That's hard enough. But then you say, oh, I can't do this and that. Listen, you didn't work hard to get where you're at. Not to say you're not paying it, but when you get a windfall like that, stop the bullshit. You know what I mean? You're blessed. Just be thankful you have what you have. And everybody cries, including myself, loaves of bread under each arm when you're doing good. You try to help people. You try to do this and that. But that's just our nature as humans. The mask on, the mask off. That's it.
You know, and then to keep giving and giving, it's like, how much more do I have to give before this person is going to quit?
Exactly. But then you acquire another one. And then there's another one and another one.
And I got to say, it's one of my, I don't know if it's a weakness or a strength, but it's like, okay, my back is against the wall. I'm done. Out. Tap out.
See, you're blessed.
Tap, tap.
You're blessed you actually did that, because some people go into debt with another credit card, or they'll take a loan, or they'll get a second job or a third job to hustle to try to keep the thing going to help people. And I think in a way that's an addiction. In a positive way to help people, but you got to learn to just tone it down. You're better off staying at home, talking to somebody different, instead of running around looking for the help, to help people.
So I was talking about earlier the ant and the grasshopper. Do you know why?
No.
It was made into a cartoon by Looney Tunes 83 years ago.
Oh my gosh, that's like before my parents, before my grandparents, or you know, around my grandparents' time.
Yes.
Wow.
And I mean this was made in 1934. Good God, no wonder nobody knows about it. I mean, this thing is older than Sandy Nelson.
Oh my gosh. Hey, you know how you said your friend passed away? My uncle died, my dad told me today, 6 years ago. You know how he died?
How?
In between the toilet bowl and the commode, fell over, and we think he was calling for his wife that just let him sit and die in his own piss and shit. Oh, now that's hell to collect his money, because she's a black widow.
Oh, jeez.
So that's real. This is real, what we're talking about. So let's get to the fucking end.
So, here we go. The Ant and the Grasshopper. Oh, it's Disney, not Looney Tunes. Disney, from 1934. Okay, discussion so far. So we got the grasshopper. He comes in dancing. He's wearing a top hat and top coat and tails, playing his fiddle.
That's not a carrot. That's a beet.
That's a carrot.
No. Look at that again. That's a beet.
I'll carrot, look at it next.
Carrots are long. That's like kind of fucking.
Well, they cut the other side. Anyway, so the grasshopper's dancing around. He grabs a leaf, takes a bite out of it, grabs a buttercup, takes a drink out of
it. Throws it away.
Throws it away and grabs another one. He looks over at the ants, and the ants are starting to toil away and basically sock food away into the tree trunk for winter.
The Lord provides. There's food on every tree. I see no reason to worry and work. No, sir. Not me. Oh, the world owes us a living. Oh, the world owes us a living. You should soil your Sunday pants like those other foolish ants. Come on, let's play and sing and dance.
Okay, so that's the grasshopper mentality. Let's party, let's sing, let's dance, the Lord will provide, da-da-da-da-da. It's always going to be here. No, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And this is good for if you get into the mindset of wanting to get into a business or a good career. Enjoy yourself, but take a nice little portion and bank it for a nest day. Because if
save
it's not
for a
there,
rainy day.
You see
save
it
for the winter. I mean, you can tell where millennials have never seen this.
Oh.
I'm not trying to piss off millennials who listen to our podcast, but it's the truth. I mean, I wish. Anyway, on with
gotta
the.
Gotta save a little something. That's
a little
it.
Something. A
little bit.
All right, on with the cartoon. So, big lesson coming up here. We just saw the little ant that's kind of falling for what the grasshopper has said. What kind of like what we're talking about.
This reminds you of like something in the 30s, 40s, a hobo's life.
Yes, I mean, the ant is starting to fall into the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Why work? Let's just jump on a train and we'll just get hobo stew and just sit around
I don't want to upset the grasshopper. I don't want to make him mad. But the best thing for him to be doing would be to say no.
No.
But here comes Queen Ant.
Is covered with snow.
Oh, winter time's a long way off. Do you dance? Let's go. Oh, the world owes us a living.
Okay, so right there, as I was saying earlier, the winter is coming. Start preparing. And the grasshopper is saying, no, let's just play. We don't have to work. The powers that be will provide.
Just like people with these iPhone 8, 7s, 8's not out yet, and all this shit. You don't need all this. You have a TV, flip phone at work just because your friends have flash and stuff.
Yeah.
How much debt, like this grasshopper, are they doing? And they're going to starve when the winter comes and they're just going to barely make it.
Exactly. So let's keep it going here.
Oh, the world owes us a living. You should soil your Sunday pants like those other foolish ants. Come on, let's play and sing and dance.
Okay, see, know, the grasshopper just continues just to modestly go along playing the fiddle, and we start to see the leaves changing color. We got some leaves. It's fall. It's upon us. Okay, so that shows that the wind is picking up. There's no more green leaves to eat. The ants are scurrying to get the last bit of their efforts into the tree trunk for winter before it arrives. The grasshopper is now tightening his belt. He's realizing that he has nothing to eat.
And no shelter from the cold.
No shielding at all. So he's trying to make his way through the wind. He has no shelter. He's starting to turn blue.
Very kind of like a lot of people's finances. You know
yes.
what I mean? It goes from the black to the red.
Yes.
Got to be very careful. Wow. You talk about hell. Wow. This really hits a lot of topics
this
when
does.
You get older versus being a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought from what I watched when I was 10. Well, again, it's squirrel serendipity.
Yes.
Here I was 10 years old, 40 years
wow.
later. We're discussing it as a point of order, okay?
From a cartoon.
From a cartoon,
wow.
from Disney. And then he sees the door that leads into the base of the tree trunk of the ants. He's thinking, if I can just make it. And inside the tree trunk of the ants who prepared, there is merriment, there is warmth, there is drink, there is food, companionship. They prepared for it.
Preparation.
Now right there, big decision time. There's a lot of them, but you know, they tried to tell him. Do they want it? They're at a crossroads. Do we bring him in or do we leave him out there? Okay?
Ants
are obviously good, gracious creatures because they work together, they team up, they bring him in. So they put his feet in hot water, get him warming up, and they're preparing to feed him some soup. So, right there, the queen is at a point where she's at a decision. Do I have to... Every year I help this guy. Every year. Same thing, over and over. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah,
or?
I'm just into this. I haven't seen okay. this. I want to see what the ending is.
Just those who work may stay. So take your fiddle. And play.
Okay, so that's the 1934 cartoon from Disney. We had to give you the commentary to keep you what was going on.
That was just, you know, like this podcast. Mind blowed your mind.
Do you remember that now?
Yes, and I remember, not, you don't remember as a kid what it's trying to instill in you.
Yes.
But now it's like, wow, why didn't I go make this move in life? And now I'm back, like you said earlier, back against the wall.
Yes.
Because of bad decisions you make and stuff, but... You still got to try to get up, brush your teeth, the world, this and that. But if you can help somebody, like you said, try to help them. But that's where the expression, help number one first, which is yourself, before you can help others.
Yeah, and
you can't stress yourself to the point of worrying about this and this. If somebody
yes.
else can't save like the ants, you can only do so much.
I can only warn you so many times.
Exactly.
I mean, that cartoon really instilled a lot in me on my life. And it's hard to believe at how many youngsters... have never heard the story of the ant and the grasshopper. And that cartoon there is the sole pinpoint. Well, we gotta put, I'm going to put this somehow up.
Yeah, we're just going to say,
maybe,
I'm going to write
you know,
this down.
You know, here's the thing. It's 8 minutes. Maybe I'll put it together in 8 days, put it on our Instagram account, which is WCW_comedy or Shiny Squirrel Podcast. The Ant and the Grasshopper. More.
Yeah, I wrote that down because I want my niece and nephew to see that. And see on how learning skills and stuff that you don't need everything when you get upset to have Pokemon cards
yeah.
and other things when you don't get it. You can't throw fits. Everybody wants everything, and your mom and dad, especially one of the two, really busting their ass to give you a different life hard, which their
yeah.
parents did and stuff like that. And everybody wants to see everybody do better, but sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Sometimes you never stop learning, or sometimes you
no.
never start learning.
Nope.
And I mean, that's the reason of our podcast, our topic. The road is paved. The road to hell is paved with good
intentions.
Because
it's not always a bad thing to say no, and it's not always a good thing to say no. It's kind of per decision, choice.
Yes. Choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the queen was in there, she could kick him out or let him stay in the tree with the rest of the ants and let him play his fiddle.
And hopefully he learned the lesson like he did, and hopefully he went on like, instead of the world owes me something, I owe the world a living.
Yes.
That is really awesome, and how they just did that so simply.
I owe the world a living.
Before it was, the world owes me, I owe the world a living. That's the attitude to have.
That is
humble.
Actually, that's our moral of our story right here.
Perfect.
The world doesn't owe you, you owe the world.
Exactly. It's not what you can do for your country, what can you do? Not what your country can do for you, what can you do for your country? Just try to help people, and try to be positive and solid.
And that's it for The Road to Hell. It's paved with good intentions, and we hope you got something out of it.
For the encouragement... Okay, hang on.
Take two. Bloopers at the end.
Oh, my gosh. For the... I don't even
for
know
the,